Welcome to the In the Limelight podcast. I'm your host, Clarissa Burt, and every week I bring you great information from fabulous people that I get to meet all over the world. I interview public figures, influencers, entrepreneurs, thought leaders, millionaires, and moguls that share their know-how, tipping points, pivotal moments, and life lessons. I promise you educative, empowering, and entertaining conversations with entrepreneurs that have a social conscience. Don't forget to find me on social. You can find me pretty much everywhere. Facebook, it's Clarissa Burt Official. Also, sign up for my newsletter at clarissaburt.com. That way you can keep abreast of the In the Limelight media as it's coming out. And you'll be getting my weekly newsletter along with the In the Limelight magazine every quarter. Check out inthelimelightmedia.com. Well, hello, everybody. It's Clarissa Burt. We are back in the limelight with yet another really cool interview. Wait, you're not going to believe it. I mean, you know, I bring you some of the craziest stuff ever. And today, we've got a really cool company that I want you to know about. And we're going to learn all about them in just a minute. But don't forget that you can listen to our podcast on Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, and with our good friends over at Inspired News Radio. And the videos you can see on Roku, Chromecast, Apple TV, Android TV, Amazon Fire, and YouTube. Do not forget that you can take a look at our digital magazine over at clarissaburt.com. It is In the Limelight, intelligent media for the savvy entrepreneur. We've got a new drop in about, by the time you see this, you'll probably, will already have dropped the new edition, which is very, very cool and exciting. So who doesn't love fabulous perfume and wonderful smells? I know I do. I'm just a wonderful smell kind of gal, but I wanted to bring on our guest today who is has some different thoughts about what scents and smells are all about and the world of possibilities surrounding them. So here we go with Mark Crimes, everybody. Crames, forgive me, Mark Crames. There he is. Happy to have you here, sir. You are the CEO of Demeter Fragrances. You are out in Pennsylvania, where I was born, by the way. I don't know where you are in Pennsylvania. Oh, I don't hear you, sir. I don't hear you. Are you muted? Let's see if we can unmute you potentially. One sec. Okay. Let's see. This is the beauty of live, everybody. The beauty of live. There we go. I hear you now, Mark.
Okay. Well, yeah. Sorry, I just killed the headphones.
No problem. We'll just go ahead and cut that part out. So I'll set it up again. Hey, Mark. So I'm from Pennsylvania too. Where in Pennsylvania are you? You broke up. You know, I can't hear you. All right, got you back.
There we are. Okay, now I think we've overcome the technical problem.
Got it?
Yep, okay. Can you hear me now?
All right, yes, I'm going to say it again, okay? We're going to cut all that out. Okay, so hey, Mark, okay. Great to have you on the show. I can't wait to hear all about your company and what you're doing. I also am a Pennsylvania girl. Where are you in Pennsylvania?
We're in Selins Grove, which is pretty much smack dab in the middle.
Smack dab in the middle. Okay. I was Philadelphia born and then, you know, different places around Philly, but yeah. I guess you could say we're homies.
We're right outside of Harrisburg.
Right. Oh, okay. The capital. Okay. So I did want to get a little bit, take a deeper dive with you into what's happening at Demeter Fragrance. And for those of you who don't know, they started, I think it was 1996, 1998, something like that, way back in the day with different fragrances. And a little bit maybe more traditional, if you will, with respect to where we're going, but they were really more about dirt and tomato and all kinds of other, the fragrance of dirt and tomato. Okay. I love that, Mark, but you guys over the last, I don't know how many years now, and I can't do the math that quickly, but you went into a whole different realm of what it means, of what fragrance means. And I really do want to learn more about that too, but one of the ones that was the latest, and the greatest, is puppy's breath.
That is accurate.
You have dirt, grass, tomato. You've got kitten, puppy breath, Tootsie Roll, Junior. You know, Junior Mints would be. I'd be all over that. Earthworm, funeral home. We've got fuzzy navel and grumpy cat. To name a few, my friends. To name a few. So, Mark, tell me how all of the ideas for these really, let's say, weird and wonderful, as you phrased it, all these weird and wonderful fragrances came about.
Well, we've gone through a few iterations. And the first iteration, which is before I was with the company, when it was founded in 1996, was to capture the smells of nature in the garden, and thus the name Demeter, which was Americanized to Demeter, the Greek goddess of agriculture, because that's who the company was when it was born.
Right.
By the time I got here in 2002, it had already gone through a significant change.
Okay.
And it had evolved into whatever scent you desire, no matter how weird and wonderful, no matter how weird and unusual.
Or wonderful.
Which may or may not have been wonderful, because that brought us fragrances like lobster, rubber, things of, you know, six different kinds of apples.
And they are all used on the skin. Is that correct, or are they fragrances used for other things?
All wearable fragrance, but that idea just brought us into places that honestly were just really not commercial, and certainly not commercial 20 years ago.
Right.
So I bought the company. We evolved it to fragrances inspired by real wearable fragrance, inspired by real objects and experiences.
Okay.
And that meant, for example, I wouldn't make something like roast turkey because I don't consider that to be wearable. But even that evolved because I made pizza 5 years ago, which was something I always said I wouldn't make, but tastes had changed.
So let me ask you this. So are you like, you've got your ear to the ground when it comes to the consumer's desires and wishes? Or do they come to you and say, hey, listen, do they come to you and say, hey, listen, would you make this for me? Or do you say, hey, let's just go down the lobster path?
It's both.
Okay.
And I would have never gone down the lobster path. I just clear of it. But about half of the fragrances are suggested by our fans. Okay. Puppy's Breath is one that is the most asked for that they were working on when I bought the company in 2000.
Wow.
Anything with that's a large, complex organic molecule is an incredible challenge to make in a wearable fragrance for reasons you don't care about.
Well, I really like baby powder and pure soap, but when it goes down like gin and tonic or Play-Doh or vanilla cake batter, I don't know. I mean, tell me, when you're smelling these things yourself and you're creating them, and then I want to talk about the creation of how you're creating the scents in a minute. But I mean, do you kind of go, ugh, I could never wear that? Or do you like fall in love with every one of your fragrances?
Look, I think to a great degree, I love most of my children deeply. But it's also true that there are fragrances we do that I don't like. I'm working on a fragrance now for a new project with eucalyptus in it, which is one of my least desirable smells.
Wow, really? Okay.
But, you know, that's not what the job is. We haven't defined the job as indulging my sense of smell. We define the job as making what people want.
Right. So let's get into the formulation a minute. Do you work with noses? Are you the nose? How does that all play out?
Happy circumstances that I'm the nose because I'm not a trained perfumer.
You're not.
I ran a fragrance distribution company for about 20 years before I bought Demeter. And during that time, we became the licensee for Pierre Cardin and Realm. And I was what's known in the industry as an evaluator. People would bring me fragrances and I would smell them and ask them to be adjusted or approve them or disapprove them and so on and so forth.
Right.
And when I bought Demeter, I got much more deeply into that process and it just turned out to be happenstance that I have a really good nose. So since about 2004, 2005, I've developed all the fragrances.
Wow. This is a sidetrack question that it just came to mind that has probably nothing to do. But when you're a nose, are you a nose that is trained just for perfume, or can a nose be for perfume and for wine, for example?
Well, I think the nose simply refers to the fact that you have trained yourself to perceive and smell things, or you have a natural ability, which is also true.
Right.
Because we all have different numbers of scent receptors in different kinds.
Right.
A nose just refers to someone who has a level of perception that's above and beyond.
Right, okay.
It's up to that person how they choose to train that.
And so it's something that you study, or is it something that you have a propensity for, and therefore you study it even deeper?
It's all about scent and memory.
Right. Okay. So I have this one overlay. It's going to go over our faces, but it's unfortunately the only way I can do it. And I got this from your website just to give you everybody the sense, and I'm sure there was a better image, but this is the one I found, the sense of just how complex perfume, perfumation, and what people that are noses have to deal with. And there are three different, I'm going to call them tonalities. You're going to call them something different for sure. But the notes, the top notes, the middle notes, and the bass notes. Let me get that out of the way. Bass notes. And then there's a whole world around all of that. So, I mean, I can't even imagine the intensity of the job that you do. And so I want you to expand upon that. And is there something... Are there things within that realm that you are either allergic to or have a reaction to? I mean, or are you just like blind, you know, have no issues at all?
I just choose not to think about it.
Okay.
That piece of it. You sort of do what you have to do.
You have to do what you have to do. Okay.
It's not like I'm eating shellfish with a shellfish allergy, or I would deal with it differently.
Okay.
But the chart that you just put up is actually not a standard perfumer's wheel. Normally, we talk in a circle.
Right, okay.
Different kinds of fragrances, and okay, there's a lot of jargon involved. And it's about categorizing smells. Whereas what we wanted to do was something very different, which is I wanted to create that pyramid which tells you two things. How long a fragrance lasts, the things at the top of the pyramid flash off very quickly, the ones in the middle last longer, the ones in the bottom live forever.
Okay.
And
that helps. That helps a little. I understand. Yeah. Okay.
And create a way to think about fragrances the way we think about objects normally. In other words, to wash all the jargon and the BS out of it. Fragrance grew up, when I was distributing designer fragrances, I came to the conclusion that there was 90% marketing and packaging and 10% fragrance. And I've since come to believe that's like 95 and 5.
Oh, yeah.
That the fragrances were all the same. There was very little creativity in fragrance 20 years ago. And when I bought Demeter, it was to set out to do something different.
Different.
You have. Now, there's also, today, a very, very healthy upper end haute couture fragrance business where a bottle costs $200 or $300 or $400
Yep.
Of really high art that people are doing, and it's wonderful stuff. That's not who we are.
Right.
We're about making great fragrance available every day. And great is not just the way it smells, but that you don't have to be a perfumista to understand it.
Absolutely. I mean, when did you lose count? Because I lost count. I think you're over 300 different perfumations right now.
And that's the position I take, over 300. I stopped counting too.
You stopped counting too? So when somebody comes to you and says, hey, Mark, do me a favor, man. I want you to make me some puppy's breath. How long does it take for the entire process to unfold?
Boy, that is all over the place. Pizza I made the very first time I tried to blend it. Literally the first time out of the box. 15 minutes. Pizza.
Wow. Okay.
Puppy's Breath, they were working on when I bought the company in 2002. So
the answer is?
1 day to 20 years.
1 day to 20 years. Come on. True. All right. So, I mean, I guess they really needed your expertise to come in and sort of finish up the job, maybe?
I worked on it for a generation. I worked on it longer than they did. No.
That's a long time for a client to wait, Mark. I don't know. I mean, I get that Peppy's Breath is like a cool thing, but 10 years.
Well, the one thing we've always decided to do is not release a fragrance until we think it's right. Now, that doesn't mean everything we do is commercially successful.
Right.
But we do have a target. The target is I want you, let me back up a drop. Scent to us is all about memory. It's about evoking the memories related to that fragrance and the feelings that are very powerful related to that memory.
Right.
Because that's how we're built. That's how we experience emotion, more powerfully from scent than anything else.
Right.
And that's the basis for our brand. So when I do a fragrance, when I do a flower, I'm not doing some perfumed, redacted, reduced version of that flower.
Right.
I want you to experience standing in a lit field of those living flowers. When you smell our honeysuckle, I want you to remember going in the backyard and sucking the juice out of the flower.
Right. Remember? Oh my gosh. I used to do that too as a kid.
Okay. When you smell our grass, I want you to remember rolling around in the freshly mowed lawn.
Yeah.
Most of you probably aren't old enough, but when you, I want you to smell bonfire, I want you to think about jumping in a pile of leaves that don't
exist. Yes, of course.
But my cosmopolitan cocktail was based on the greatest cosmopolitan I ever had at sunset in the Sonoma Inn on the back porch with my wife waiting to check in.
So wait, where was the Sonoma Inn?
Napa Valley.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Sonoma Mission Inn.
Okay.
Those are the experiences I want to deliver. So I can't release a fragrance until it delivers that experience, or we're not keeping up our end of the bargain.
Got it. So listen, I know you have.
Every time you smell something, I want you to be.
Yeah.
I want you to be surprised at how great that is.
How great it is. Right. So I know you have over, you know, more than 300 babies. I get it. We all love our babies. With more than 300. God bless you. But Mark, there has to be one. Come on now. You got to answer the question. There's one that's your favorite, one that absolutely sends you over the moon because it's so damn good.
For me, it's an easy answer. It's our patchouli.
Patchouli. Oh, wow. Yes.
And there's a few reasons for that, both cultural and olfactory.
Right, of course.
Culturally, I am a child of the 60s.
Right.
Lots of good memories around patchouli.
Right. But
the truth is those memories are based on cheap, mostly synthetic patchouli, or certainly what I would call dirty patchouli.
Right.
It was the lower end of the patchouli oil. So what we wanted to do, what I wanted to do, was make a patchouli that would really knock your socks off.
Right.
So what we did is we bought what's called 100% natural microfractionated patchouli oil, which means the lightest and sweetest part of the plant only. And we pay a ridiculous amount for that oil.
I'll bet.
No business selling that fragrance for $21 an ounce. I think that our patchouli, that the only fragrance that challenges our patchouli, if you're a patchouli lover, is Tom Ford's.
Right, right, right.
But that's because we're willing to pay $250 or $300 a kilo for oils when the typical designer fragrance is $35 a kilo.
Of course, of course.
Sometimes you pay for better ingredients, you get a better product.
Absolutely. So patchouli, you're a son of the 60s. Okay, I guess I'm right behind you then because I do remember it. Sandalwood was another one that I absolutely love. My preferred are always the agrumi, which are the citruses. And so I'm a big lover of vetiver. Vetiver is my big thing and all of the fresh, lovely fragrances.
Which
and
is also-
right now, yeah, right now I'm like on, like I'm doing, you know, Hermès's Terre. You know, love that. And I used to do Merveille from, you know, Hermès because they're just, I just love that fresh stuff. So that's, I'm just to answer what my favorite is after your favorite is. So what's coming up next for you guys? I know, it, you know, you're doing the perfumes and I know you have a phenomenal horizontal, but the verticals are where now? Perfumes, you do, you're doing perfume. And then what's the difference between perfume, cologne, and parfum?
Concentration.
Okay, that's what I thought. All right.
The perfume is more highly concentrated and generally designed to be, you know, put on once and pretty much last most of the day.
Okay.
Perfume also is, by its nature, tends to change radically. It has a very powerful dry down.
Okay.
We're the opposite of that. We're making only single note fragrances, which means they express their nature right away and don't change.
Right.
What you smell is what you get. It's not always true with more complex designer fragrances. So we make cologne, which is more lightly concentrated. That allows us to do two things. It helps us in staying away from the dry down, to stay linear and consistent. But it, and that allows us to deliver that experience of a real thing or a real object.
Right.
So it's designed to be applied throughout the day. The price also reflects that. But remember, this is called a pick-me-up spray. It's designed to pick you up. It's not, whereas most designer fragrance is about making a statement to somebody else.
Right.
Demeter is a statement about you.
Listen, I got to tell you, I am really digging the fact that I am right there in the warehouse with you. Like, I'm here. This is like the coolest darn thing. I thought I was, you know, it was, no, I'm right there in the warehouse. I can hear them, like, you know, wrapping up packages and the boxes are ready to be shipped. This is great. Well, listen.
Right behind you, they're making every fragrance that we sell is made here and it's made by hand.
I know. That's amazing stuff. Okay. Listen, we didn't talk about kitten fur, but we're at the end of the show right now. Tell me what. Because if I had to talk about all three of them, I'd have to book you for 3 hours. I don't know. But what are you guys working on next? Can you divulge the next fragrance that you're working on?
We're launching 3 more fragrances this year. Actually, 4. In October, black tea and sweet tea. Two different versions of an idea. Obviously.
I've never had a coffee. I lived in Italy for 30 years, Mark, and I've never had a coffee in my life. I am a tea drinker, and I'm a big fan of matcha tea. So I think you have matcha tea, don't you?
I love tea scents. We do a green tea, a tea, all kinds of
tea. We are TTT people. All right. Well, listen, you have been a delightful interview. I wish you all of the best. And everybody, you have heard it here first about everything you wanted to know about perfume, perfumation, how to make it, and what the warehouse actually looks like when you're in that business. Mark, thank you so very much. We'll be talking to you again soon.
Bye-bye now.
Thanks. Be well. Bye-bye.
Thanks for watching this episode of In the Limelight TV, intelligent media for the savvy entrepreneur. Please consider liking, sharing, and subscribing to my channel on YouTube, and you can listen to the podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, and Inspired News Radio. Go ahead over to InTheLimelightMedia.com to read our digital magazine, and don't forget to connect with me on social pretty much anywhere. Stay well until we meet again in the limelight.